Cantini friends. Welcome in. You're listening to Jawa Chatter, a Star Wars podcast. And today we are talking about Star Wars Jedi Battle Scars. And with me are my two co-hosts, Claudia, and not really a Star Wars newbie anymore.
Hi.
And Nerdy, our Star Wars encyclopedia, whether he wants to be or not, Nerdy Knightley.
We are all Star Wars newbies in comparison to George Lucas.
That's
fair.
You know what I mean?
Them's are facts.
We're all just noobs living in his world.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Except maybe, and maybe Pablo Hidalgo and maybe Dave Filoni.
I was just about to say.
I think the two of them can maybe
Dave
claim.
Dave Filoni, I feel like.
Yeah.
I feel like even Jon Favreau is not quite there, but he's getting there. He's almost there.
I would not say that. Jon Favreau is an incredible writer-creator. Jon Favreau makes great Star Wars. I don't think Jon Favreau is like the most knowledgeable person.
Oh, no, I'd say probably Alex is even probably more knowledgeable than Jon, if I had to guess, like Alex from Star Wars Express.
I'm willing to bet that I probably know more about the lore of Star Wars than Jon Favreau.
This is why him and Dave Filoni just work so well together as a pair.
Yeah, the important thing, the reason why Jon Favreau is so good at making Star Wars is because he's an incredible storyteller, and we're very lucky to have him in the galaxy far, far away. But he's not the lore guy, and that's fine.
Yeah, he's got the lore guy. See, we have our lore guy. He's got his lore guy. It's perfect.
Oh man, Alex Damon is a friend of mine, and so I feel like I have to say I'm not the lore guy just out of respect for our friendship.
No.
You know what I mean?
Like, but you're the lore guy here. Alex isn't here. Alex has his own show. Yes. Alex is the lore guy in his show.
Yes.
You're the lore guy in our show. Everyone's got their roles. Claudia's here for the quick jokes and the hating of clappings.
Yeah.
It's a light week to be a Star Wars fan.
I think every week's going to be a light week until we basically get to Andor, is my personal opinion. Or until the trailer drops right before Andor that I think they'll do still. Other than that.
Well, and just so that people understand the context from which we're coming at this. We're recording this on Sunday because it's a busy week coming up with Toronto Fan Expo.
Yep.
Which I'm going to be spending time with Sam Maggs at. So that'll be a
fun thing to talk about. Oh my gosh, are you
really? Here.
Perfect.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
But we'll get there. But yeah, it's a tough time for a Star Wars podcast because the news cycle at the moment does not care about us. The news cycle is about, obviously when this podcast comes up, it will already be out. So we have not seen the episode yet, but we will have House of the Dragon drops tonight on HBO.
Yep.
And it really does feel like that's the only thing the world cares about.
Yep. Yeah, it's true. And so, it's a light week, but still love talking about Star Wars. But I think the entire internet I've seen so far is focused on that and only that. I've even seen a couple friends come through that like, I didn't know this was even happening today. Like, and I've seen a couple friends post about that. And I was like, oh, really? That has marked the counter for a very long time. But yeah, it's going to be everything everyone's talking about, basically.
It is funny. We were at a wedding this weekend and everyone's like, oh man, we have to start readjusting our Sunday schedules for time it is, 8 p.m. For Central Time, it's where we were.
Yep.
Oh, you know, our 8 p.m. watch time, like that's back on the calendar again after a very long respite.
This is where Pacific Time finally pays off as a content creator, because usually Pacific Time screws me. And so, but now I get to watch this at an early 6 p.m. Pacific time, and I can start editing it after that and probably get to bed at a normal hour. So I'm quite jazzed for that.
Considering we woke up at 2:45 a.m. Pacific time just to get on a flight.
We did.
It'll be a fun full circle moment for us.
So Star Wars Jedi Battle Scars. This is kind of
Can I just stop us there for a second before we move on from that? Yeah. House of the Dragon does come out at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Yep. You're excited for the 6 p.m. I'm glad 9 p.m. 9 p.m. is not bad. I'll still have my reaction edited and ready to go live tomorrow morning. 10 a.m. Eastern over at youtube.com/nerdynightly. That's a little plug for me. But, you know, since it's a light week, I want to ask you guys a philosophical question about this.
I wasn't prepared for this.
Do you wish, it's a light question, calm down, it's going to be easy to answer. Do you wish the Disney Plus shows had a, like, evening time slot that they premiered in, rather than doing the, like, midnight Eastern, or midnight at Pacific time release that they do which is 3 a.m. for Eastern Standard Time. Like, do you wish that it was at 6 p.m. on Wednesday so that everyone was sitting down at the same time to watch it? Or do you think the way that they're doing it right now, where it comes out in the middle of the night and everyone kind of picks it up the next day when they can, is working out for them?
No, I've hated this model from the beginning. And I think because I've complained to Claudia about it. I'm very sick of the model of, like, let's drop it at midnight or 3 a.m. Eastern Time. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, look, when Game of Thrones was at its peak, right, before, and I'm just using them as an example because they've been doing, you know, they've been doing their thing of dropping at a specific time the entire time. And I was, you know, working at a normal job, whatever. And that was the water cooler talk, right? Like, that was like the thing that we came into the office and we talked about. And I think that helps propel a show or franchise or whatever that has that consistent time slot and time and day slot. And so not only is it to my own benefit, I think it's actually to their benefit as well. And I think that is actually just proven by the casual conversation you had at Claudia at a wedding we had with people that are not content creators. They're not as big as nerds as we are. They definitely do not live on this stuff like we do. And they are already talking about stuff like that. They're like, we're readjusting our schedule to be like ready to, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I think that honestly is a great example of how I just really wish that maybe Disney, you know, Disney Plus would kind of adapt to that a little bit. I think it would be to their benefit, not just us as content creators, but I think it'd be their benefit. I think it would help propel their shows even more. I think people would start making specific times to sit down and watch it with other people or have watch parties for things on Wednesday night or whenever things drop for Marvel on Thursdays. Like, I just think it would help.
And I also think it like helps, you know, go say it's 3 a.m. it drops for Eastern time. You know, you're going to have trolls that are going to go on, watch it before you do. You have to stay off Twitter until you watch it and kind of avoid those things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially when you're a content creator, it's like your entire job. So it becomes pretty difficult to avoid these things if you're also trying to see, like, you know, there's other trailers, there's other content coming out. So you have to kind of readjust. So having that time slot and, like, you know, making this time, you've got enough time to, you know, watch it, edit it, and then, you know, talk with everybody about it, but it's not this, okay, there's a race to get this done. You know, we have to kind of readjust here. We just have to get it out that next day. I think it having that time slot really makes an easier adjustment for people, as not just content creators, just everyone as well. Like, you're not going to see those headline articles that just ruin your day. And you're like, why did I see
where
that?
Where the spoilers, you know, in the title.
That stinks. It really does.
And I think it makes the experience more fun, right? Like, it makes it just like a fun time.
Yeah.
Well, my thing is, I think that to the benefit of the networks, the streaming networks, it is a lot harder to plan a watch party with other people. And so it encourages people to watch the episode at like 8 a.m. at home.
Yeah.
It is a lot harder to get six friends together to watch a show at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
And not get spoiled. And it's also hard to kind of wait all day and get people together the next night. And so I'm not saying that's part of their calculation. I think that Netflix kind of built the model and everyone went with the Netflix model. Yeah. But the difference with Netflix was always that they dropped 8 to 10 hours at midnight. It didn't really matter. You would watch one episode and then go to bed and watch the rest the next day or over the weekend. Or you would get to it eventually because it's 8 hours of content on a Thursday night at midnight. I think with the single episode releases, the midnight model is very... It's grading in more and more as we get further into it, because it just kind of feels like I can't sit down and text all of, I don't have a group chat for any of these shows anymore. And I used to have a group chat for every show because the show would be airing and you'd be texting your friends about it as you watched it.
Yeah, it was like the light tweeting days.
Nobody's watching. Yeah. Nobody's watching it at the same time anymore. And that makes it tough. It makes live tweets not fun because nobody's at the same point. And I don't know, YouTube has this premiere feature that we've been playing around with a lot lately. And what's been so fun about premiering our YouTube videos as opposed to just releasing them has been the ability to talk to people while our video's playing and have this kind of like community conversation around the thing that we're doing. And I wish that I was feeling more of that in the streaming service era. It almost feels like the further we get into streaming services, the further a way I feel like other people are in my content watching. And it was really noticeable at Star Wars Celebration this year, which was, I think, where like this switch kind of flipped in my brain, where up until that point, I hadn't realized how much I missed watching it with other people. Mm. And then, of course, Obi-Wan comes out, and spending the entire next day with however many thousands of people just talking about that episode of Obi-Wan was so joyful, right? Like, what a cool experience that was. And I'm not saying I always wanted to be on that scale, because that would just not happen. Yeah. I don't have that many friends. I'm not that cool. But I would like to have more of a communal experience around these shows, and it can be really tough to do that outside of like our YouTube comments. And I'm so grateful that people watch our YouTube videos about this stuff. That's so nice. But I kind of wish that I could be in my Discord at 9 o'clock on a Friday night and know that everyone in my Discord is watching the same show at the same time, and not being like, oh, well, most of us saw it at 6 a.m. when we woke up because we didn't want to get spoiled, but we'll do a rewatch with you or something like that. And I'm just missing that. And the fact that Game of Thrones is doing this with House of the Dragon is so exciting to me. And it really made me think about Andor and wishing that Andor, A, wasn't dropping 3 episodes on the first day, right? And B, that those episodes would come out at 9 p.m. Eastern, and I could sit down at 9 and know everybody else was sitting down at 9. Granted, it's probably really hard on the servers that they do that, right? Who knows if HBO Max is going to survive tonight, considering they just laid off, 17% of their employees? They're going to have a monumental task making sure that this premiere goes well, because this is the first premiere in years where the time matters, right?
Yeah.
I think that it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. And as much as I think it's hard on the servers, I would really like to see this happen more, because I'm excited for 9 o'clock. And I'm never excited for a time, you know what I mean? But like, I'm excited for 9 o'clock today, and that feels cool. And I haven't felt that in a long time.
I think we might see like a resurgence in live tweets again. Like, when was the last time you saw somebody live tweeting about a show as it was happening? Like, that died.
It's going to be nuts.
Oh yeah, this first episode especially, it's just like any first episode of a show or a franchise that's come back. This one's just going to be like,
it's going to be
huge. Yeah, it's going to be the only thing. Like, that's kind of how Nerdy, you know, phrased it, was like, you know, like, we love Star Wars. I'm very happy to talk about what we're talking about today. But like, you know, the fact is, this is the thing everyone's going to be talking about the entire week. And like, I get it. That's fair. Like, how long has it been since we had Game of Thrones? I actually can't remember when the last episode aired. But on top of that, I could even take it further back and go, when was the last time we had not season 9 episode? And then, so that goes even further back. So I think everyone's just really stoked for this.
I would say never, considering there was never a season 9 of Game of Thrones.
But sorry, eight. There should have been a season 9. Could have been better.
I don't know that they could have done it. They're gonna make Snow. Speaking of, before we move on to the Star Wars news, we might be going down to L.A. Because they announced that Game of Thrones Con is happening in December. So it's the first like official Game of Thrones.
I did not see that announcement.
Run by HBO. Wow. So Clarus and I might be down in LA from the 9th to the 11th, I think. And LA Comic Con is the weekend before, so we might go down and do both cons back to back in December.
Another big road trip.
We're gonna fly for that. Yeah. It'd be like, God, that'd be like 6 days driving cross country that.
Yeah, that'd be wild. Plus, it'd be too cold.
But yeah, so. We're definitely we're looking at a little bit of a, because I think that's the con where they're going to announce the Snow show, because Kit Harington is like a confirmed guest. So we might get the first announcement of that Game of Thrones sequel.
Yeah, that is the thing that people have been speculating for like a year now, is that, you know, his show. And I'm surprised that's kind of a thing moving forward. I thought he was very done with the character. He very much seemed done with everything. He seemed like the most tired individual after that whole thing. He even took like mental health time for himself, because he was just so burnt out.
It was a long period of life, think that, though, to be fair. Like, what was it?
Yeah, it was his whole life.
10 years in total, you know. It was a
years of his life. That's wild.
Yeah, it's like the Harry Potter actors. It's like such a long gap of their life. It's like how they grew up, and it became like part of their identity. And it was tough. He had to kind of separate himself from that. And also, the last season, it was just a lot of negativity, too.
I wonder how much money they threw at him, though.
I have a feeling that he would be coming back to do it with the understanding that he would be somewhat more in control of the character and his, like... You know, I think that he would probably come back as an executive producer, as the title character.
It has to be, right?
And it would be a very different situation. Rather than being one of 15 leads, he would be the lead. And the structure of the show would be built more around him and built to support him better. I think the tough part about a show like Game of Thrones with its huge ensemble is that sometimes you have to play ball because there's too many moving parts. Mm-hmm. And I think that a simpler show that's more about his character might be easier for him to be more a part of and have a little bit more control over his life. So you never know what the reasons are. It might be a money thing. It might be anything.
I think you're right, though. I think
if they do make Snow, I'd be excited.
Yeah, but I think you're right, though. I think he'll be more part of the creative process, like you said. Like I definitely see him mm-hmm. being an executive producer or a producer of some sort. Like I just feel like there's no way he's not.
I can't imagine he would come back without something like that. Exactly. Right? Like, why? Exactly.
Yeah. That's insurance for yourself, honestly, as a creator.
Yeah, should we talk about Star Wars?
100%.
Yeah.
Should we talk about Star Wars?
So a fun little tweet dropped pretty recently. It was... I was stoked. I saw a Nerdy tweet about it, too. So I know both of us were. And then I showed it to Claudia.
And I was excited.
And Claudia's excited to the point where this might be her the first Star Wars book she ever reads. I think that's a big deal. So we have Star Wars Jedi Battle Scars, which is going to take place between Fallen Order and Jedi Survivor. It's going to be an adventure and story told by about the crew and Cal Kestis. And it releases March 7th, 2023. And it's going to be written by Sam Maggs, which apparently Nerdy was hinting at potentially you're going to see.
Oh, Sam's a friend of mine.
I did not know that. That's incredible.
Yeah, Sam and I are friends.
That's amazing.
Sam Maggs. Sam is a ray of sunshine that I met at Calgary Fan Expo this year.
Okay.
We just kind of met me, Clarice, and her and chatted. And she's the sweetest human being. And we've only gotten to know each other a little bit because she lives in LA and we live here, but we've been chatting a lot. We have plans. We're going to like hang out with her this week. So this was like kind of crazy timing
because so cool.
She was like, we were making plans with her and then she's like, tomorrow's a big day for me. And I was like, okay, cool. I don't know what that means. And then this came out and I was texting her. I was like, you superstar, you hiding that you have a freaking Cal Kestis book from me.
That
like,
is wild.
Oh my God. I was losing it. I was literally losing it. I think she's wonderful. I think she's awesome.
Yep.
And she's a great writer. So this is going to be really cool.
I couldn't be more excited for this book. The only thing I wasn't excited about was like, when I saw it was March 7th, 2023, I was like, but kind of want it now. Selfishly. I want it now.
I think it's going to be good that it comes out as a lead up to the game. Cause I have a feeling the game will come out.
That's
probably end of Q1.
Yeah. So that's where I was going with that next too, is like, I think this gives us a hint. And that's what I turned to Claudia and said, like, I think this gives a hint of when the game comes out. I think this releases March 7th. I see the game coming out late March, like the very end of March, probably like the last day or something.
31st or whatever.
And that's because, I mean, like, you don't release that after, right? You release that before, build up the hype a little bit, tell the story in between. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I wouldn't be surprised. And then, yeah, I'm stoked. I'm at a loss for words because really I'm just so excited to have more of this crew and more of Jedi Fallen stuff. So I can't wait.
Yeah, so based on the ending of the first game,
which, spoiler alert, I guess, if you haven't played it.
We had a full conversation about the plot of that game on a podcast. So like, if you've been listening to us from the beginning, you already know what happens in Jedi Fallen Order. Do you think that this is going to be the setup for the second game, or is this going to be a completely divorced story in between? Because there is that element of it where the time jump between game one and game two in this series is pretty significant, right? A full 5 years between when the events of Fallen Order and when the events of Jedi Survivor happen. Do you think that this is going to be like the start of the next game? Or because there's 5 years, do we kind of just need it to fill in the gap so that we can jump into Jedi Survivor already kind of knowing where things are at?
I think it fills in one of the gaps. 5 years is a long time. I don't see it obviously telling the full spectrum of what happened in 5 years. But I think it takes like a really interesting story that probably has something to do with the sequel. Not necessarily leads all the way up to it. It might. What it's basically going to be is one of those things that like you don't have to read it, obviously, to get the full spectrum of what's going to happen in the sequel. But it's a bonus if you do, right? Like, you have a better understanding of the crew, their motivations, and probably what's maybe going to lead up to the sequel of the game. But they don't want to alienate people, obviously, that don't read the book, right? So I don't see it being a necessary component. So I don't think it's going to tie, like, directly or, like, I don't think it's going to go from book to, oh, timeline-wise, bam, there's the game. I don't see that happening, but there's...
You don't think it's going to pull, like, a catalyst? The way that Catalyst is like, you can play it, you can watch Rogue One without reading Catalyst, but God, the Rogue One is so much better if you read Catalyst first.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's true. And no, I kind of, if I had to guess, obviously that's a very possibility. I'm not shooting that down, that it's not. I think I look at it more of like a Star Wars Brotherhood type thing. Like, this is a really incredible story, mm-hmm. and you get so much out of the relationships and dynamics if you read it. But it's not necessarily, it's obviously not necessary, right, to then see Revenge of the Sith or to see Obi-Wan Kenobi show, et cetera. So that's how I think it's going to go. But what do you think, Lottie?
I mean, I kind of think it's in the same vein of like, it's not going to be a prerequisite, but it's definitely going to add color, whether that's, you know, the relationship within the crew. Because to be honest, when, you know, they're all on the Mantis, they haven't been together for that long. So, you know,
that's true.
Them being together for 5 years, like, that's either going to, you know, get really close with certain members of the crew, or there's going to start being tension there. Mm-hmm. And I think it might lead up to that. So it may cover like, you know, 4 years between that point or a few years in there. Like, I don't even think it'll
like
be just
time jumps.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it has to cover a good chunk of that to really get the dynamic, but I don't know if it'll cover all the way leading up to Survivor, just because, you know, they've probably built out a little bit of a, you know, how the game starts. We're going to know some of the context. They're going to have something there, I would imagine, in that 5 years, but we're not going to know every little detail. And I think that what Star Wars books tend to do is, you know, add color, add flavor to those relationships, to those things that have been happening, and really provide context and appreciation for, you know, whatever that team member is or the dynamics are throughout that next, you know, story that we're about to be told via video game or movie or show or whatever it may be.
What about you, Nerdy? Do you think it's going to go like, do you think it's going to be a lead up all the way to it?
I have no idea. And what's fun is that I could text Sam and ask, but instead I was like, if you spoil, I was like, girl, if you, we're going to drink and we're going to have fun,
no.
But if you spoil one thing about Jedi Survivor before I get to play the game,
I'd be so upset.
I'm not that guy. I have a lot of friends in entertainment, and I've worked a long time, and I'm very fortunate to know the people that I do, and they all know, like, I don't care what project you're working on. I do not want to know the answers until I see it myself. Like, I was on set of the first Avengers movie, and I was like, I don't want to know what's happening. Please don't tell me. I will do my job. I was like literally like watching Bane fight Batman on set one day for Dark Knight Rises. And I was like, God damn, I wish I'd seen this fight on screen first. you know, because when you're on set, it's like, oh, yeah, it's two guys. Tom Hardy's huge. It's cool. But like, I'm that guy who's like, I want to go in as clean as possible. Obviously, we watch the trailers for the YouTube channel and for whatnot. Sure. And so I don't get to do that as much because of the content that we make. But I'm that guy who was fully like, I'm so proud of you. Congratulations. You're a superstar. Don't you say a goddamn word until you can send me an advanced copy, please. Advanced copy, please, question mark. And so I have no idea, and I kind of don't want to know. I hope that whatever backstory it tells, it leaves room for the game to tell some backstory about those 5 years as well. Because, you know, I'm sure there will be some backstory in the game to explain what happened in between. And I hope the book doesn't supersede all of that. I hope that the two stories work together, but don't tell the same beats of the past of those mm-hmm. 5 years. And I think that's a really hard needle to thread. Yeah. If anyone can do it, Sam can, you know. I'm just hoping that this really is just like a romance novel between Marin and Cal, and that we get the like Jedi Knight Sister romance of my dreams.
Hey, I would love to, you know, hear about Cal becoming a man, because literally that's what he's doing. He's going from what, 17 to 22? So like, you know, he's meets up with his girl.
I don't know that there will be a sex scene in this book, but
I didn't say it directly.
It's kind of like the sexual tension between Ventress and Obi-Wan, but we finally get to see that realization with a Night Sister coming to fruition, hopefully, in this.
Claudia's been watching a lot of Clone Wars.
I've been watching a lot of Clone Wars, clearly.
I hope the tension between Cal and Marin is not the tension between Asajj and
you don't
Obi-Wan,
want them to...
just because it would mean that Marin has to be very, like, you know, Marin's our sweet Night Sister.
Yeah, she is sweet. She's super sweet.
You don't want her to want to kill Cal?
I'm just saying, like, we got our first sexual touch between a Night Sister and a Jedi with those two.
You want it to be the
sweeter
version?
Although that was like a hate fuck type situation.
Wow.
Between
right.
the-
okay.
It's true. Am I wrong?
And that, you know what? That's true. Yeah.
So now we get to see the other, the flip of the coin.
Claudia just went ahead and said it, so that's cool.
The flip of the coin. I don't know. I'm hoping I don't know if Marin and Cal get together, but in my headcanon they do. I ship them hard playing that game.
Yeah, for sure. And I love her character.
Yeah.
I have to ask something a little offbeat before you go into whatever you're about to ask me next. This is more of an American asking a Canadian thing, because I read up on your friend Sam, and about the author, and one of the things that mentions that she misses about Canada, since she's living in LA, is bagged milk, and I am a little confused. Why is milk in a bag?
What do you mean?
I didn't know that milk was in a bag in Canada. This is the first I've heard of this. Why is it in a bag?
Yeah, you buy a bag of milk.
How big's the bag? Is it like a gallon?
How does it not leak?
It comes in various sizes. The bag is closed.
I understand the bag is closed. I'm
sure
dumb. I'm not
like
that dumb.
Fall over. Like what is?
Yeah.
It
how
like
does it sit? How does it sit on the shelf?
You know what I mean?
On the shelf, you put it in the fridge.
Right. Okay. When you're in a store,
you put it in
nerdy,
a pitcher,
and you go to buy the milk, right? Okay,
yes.
Cool. So in other cartons or whatever you put your other liquids in, I'm assuming it's like, you know, plastic like shelving that's in a fridge type door in the store.
Sure.
So like when you put it in a bag, it would just kind of like flump flat, would it not?
Like gravity.
Or is it like tied up so perfect?
Yeah, you just put it on its side. No, it just sits on the... It's a bag of milk. It just sits there.
How do you make sure it doesn't like...
You can like throw it in a... You can have a big pile of bags of milk.
Okay.
And it doesn't leak? Or like get punctured? Like what are the logistics?
Yeah, how do you keep a bag of chips in your pantry? It just
but
sits there. I don't
liquid.
Know.
Yeah, but like if you puncture it, okay. Then it like spills all over your fridge. And that's a fucking shitty day.
How do you keep a Kool-Aid jammer in your fridge? I don't know. It's a bag of milk.
Bag of milk.
You put it, you take it home, and then when you want it, you put it in a pitcher and you snip the corner and then you pour from the bag of milk.
So everybody has a pitcher at home?
I mean, we don't buy bags of milk.
If you were.
Other people do, yeah.
Oh, so a pitcher is like a normal. Okay, cool.
Okay,
I just want it.
People have Britas in their refrigerator. That's not
no,
weird.
No, we have Britas, but that's for water. But like.
Do you guys not have bags of
no.
milk?
No.
We all
Why
have
do you
gallons.
I never. I guess I never saw them in
New
York.
I'm not asking you this because I already know the answer.
You know that we have bags that contain liquid, right? Like that's
no,
a thing
that is
we
no.
Figured
this
out.
Is this is the first I'm hearing about it. Hence the immense amount of questions I've been asking you.
But like you've had like a Kool-Aid jammer.
But like the Kool-Aid jammer is like you know like a
very
Capri Sun.
Small, and it's a.
A Capri Sun is also a bag of juice.
But it's like small. Like it's a little like you
the way
to, like,
you're describing it, I'm seeing like a plastic bag almost, then and you're
like a
you're,
garbage like a small
And
like,
it's just flat.
Like
it's just laying
bag.
On the ground and it's just flat, right?
why would you put it
That's
in a,
why we're confused.
A takeout bag? What? No, it's a plastic bag of I don't
is it like
I,
a,
I feel
is
crazy
it like a,
right now. It's not that
it's
complicated.
It's like a gallon of like
You can get them in gallons,
like a,
yes.
But it's in like a gallon Ziploc bag and it's sealed?
I have
sealed?
Regret point, like mentioning this
yeah,
now.
No, it's of course it's sealed.
Yeah, I know that.
You have to cut the corner off when you put it in the pitcher.
Last question, and then I'm going to move on. But just to clarify, it doesn't hold a shape like a Capri mm-hmm. Sun, correct? It's not standing up. It's just laying completely flat. That's all I wanted to ask and clarify so I can picture this in my head.
It can lay in any position, but yeah.
Okay, cool. It doesn't have a shape to it, like standing up upright.
No. It's just a
cool.
bag of milk.
That's what I want to know. Thank you. Now I can picture it. We can move on from this. What were you? Do you remember what you were about to say, or did I fry your brain?
I have no
That's
idea.
Fine. That's fine.
I can't believe you guys thought that we sold milk in like open top
no, never,
bags.
No,
with
no. She said that. I never
no, no,
thought
no.
that.
I didn't
never
say
thought
like,
that.
I meant like.
I'm lost.
Like the to-go bags where they tie them up at the top. Like they're just like tied. And I'm like,
nope.
How does that?
How would that possibly be secure?
That's what I was that. Wondering. I was like, how does this not spill all over? I don't understand
that's
the logistics
Claudia,
of this.
That's Claudia. That's not me. I never thought that. I just wanted to get a picture of what it looked like. Anyways.
Grocery bag.
I can't imagine she misses bagged milk that much, though. I think that's a joke answer so that when Americans read it, they're like, what?
And here I am.
Because bag milk, it's fine. It's not better.
Well,
it's the same milk.
There's two things she misses. I didn't mention the other one, but since you're bringing this up, Coffee Crisp was the one next to it. So I don't.
That makes sense.
Okay.
Maybe it's with bagged milk.
That's not what it says, Claudia.
No. Coffee Crisp is a chocolate.
So you don't like dip it in the milk.
No, Coffee Crisp is like, think of like a big, think of like a big thick Kit Kat.
Okay.
But the wafer inside is, are you guys okay?
Yes.
The wafer inside is like infused with coffee flavor.
Oh.
So it's like a big thick Kit Kat, like the Kit Kat chunky, but it's got like a coffee aftertaste basically. They're tasty. They're good.
Okay, cool.
They sell them at Disney World in the Canada section of Disney World at Epcot. When you go into like the Canada land, they sell the Coffee Crisps there. So I bought the most when I was there in 2020 with Clarusse. I bought the most expensive Coffee Crisp I've ever, because they're like 99 cents here. And it was like $4.75.
Holy.
But I hadn't had a Coffee Crisp in like 3 years. And I was like, oh, yeah, because I was living in New York at the time. So I wasn't in Canada ever. And I was like, yeah, I'll spend $5 on a $1 candy bar.
Wow, that is a heck of a markup. Holy crap.
It's Disney, man. I'm about to spend so much money there. It's
crazy. So many lightsabers.
I think we might buy the Cal Kestis lightsaber, weirdly enough, now since we're talking about our good boy Cal.
Cal. Let's talk about the other book.
Do you think...
No, I want to hear what he's about to say. He's about to ask a question.
I just had one last question. Do you think that Greece has gotten over his gambling addiction by this point?
Hell no. He's got 5 years and he's stuck on what was his ship and now stuck with the crew. I know he loves them, but I think he needs an outlet. And I do not think the gambling has left.
I don't think so either.
You think he's betting on the Fathiers, betting on them ponies?
He's betting the whole ship sometimes, and I bet maybe even that comes into play in the book.
I think it does too.
I would love if we got to go to Canto Bight.
Oh my gosh, that would be funny.
That'd be pretty good.
That would be a fun mission, right? Good.
No.
Cal has to become a jockey on a Fathier in a Fathier race
to save the ship because he bet the whole ship on it, and he needs to win the race. And he's like, Greece is the last time. This is the last time. So, yeah.
That's how he gets the mantis back. Yeah. You have to win the Fathier race.
I mean, we did see in the trailer that the mantis is empty. So
I don't think that was why.
Yeah, that's it right there. They're on Canto Bight. They got to win it back.
Oh my gosh. Lord.
Before we move off Sam Meggs, I just want to say, if you want to see Sam Meggs, maybe doing some like Dungeons and Dragons, mark off a little bit of time on Tuesday night, September 20th. To be over at youtube.com/nerdynightly. There's no formal announcement of what's going to happen yet, but something's happening. Clarusse and I are going to celebrate our anniversary that night by playing a little D&D with some friends, doing a fun campaign that I'm DMing. So if you want to watch some live D&D that Sam Meggs may or may not be a part of, join that night.
Subtle. Very subtle. I wish she was going to Dragon Con. So, but that sounds dope.
I don't know. She's going to be here next week, so I'm excited to see her again.
That's awesome.
We're going to hang out.
The other book, which I think is obviously going to come after the game releases, it hits shelves May 2nd, 2023. It's a behind-the-scenes book, basically how Jedi Fallen Survivor was made and all the artwork and just probably beautiful images. Like a coffee table book is how I'm picturing it in my head, how I've gotten from some other games. And I think it also gives, like, a bit of a window as well into the release date, because I think they're aiming for March, late March, but I think worst case scenario, if they have to push it to April, they will, because I definitely see the game coming out before this book. Like, this book will come out after it.
We can't get behind the scenes.
Oh, I can't imagine. Yeah.
It would be really weird if this. So I think these two books announcements actually give us like the perfect window
it's
now
literally
when
the
this
book
game's
ends.
Happening. Oh God. Yeah. It's the bookends. Thank you so much for that. So yeah,
I think that no matter what, Sam Meggs' book will come out on that date. I think it's hard to move that publication.
Oh
date.
Yeah, no, not her.
I think
She's
this
staying.
Date depends fully on whether or not the game comes out on time.
Yep.
Because if the game gets delayed for any reason, as we've seen with every game lately,
yes.
Are there any games coming out in the rest of 2022 at this point?
Yeah,
did God of War get?
But God of War Ragnarok.
Oh.
No, God of War and Splatoon 3 are still coming out, but those might be the only two video games
that
are released in the next 5 months.
No, you're right. There is not a single other like large like hype title that I can think of except for those two games at this point. That's it.
Yeah, which is well, and Spider-Man Scarlet or Spider-Man, Pokemon Scarlet
and
Violet,
which is those are that is that November?
November.
So we have two. Yeah, so we have two in November, and then Splatoon is in September. So yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, everything else has been moved though. Breath of the Wild 2.
Oh yeah.
I don't even know. Does Xbox have any games coming out this
year?
Like it's
nope,
just
not
next,
a one.
It's
nope,
crazy,
just next
right?
year. That's it. That's what they keep saying, anyways. But
But all of this stuff has been shunted into, like, I think that that Hogwarts game, which I'm not going to play, but that game just moved to February. Yep. So I think that as we're getting kind of what happened at the beginning of this year, where we had, it was Horizon Forbidden West, Elden Ring, and there was a third big game, and they all came out within like 3 weeks of each other.
Yeah, early on in the year too. Like usually that February timeframes you don't see, like January and February.
Yeah.
Yeah.
February, March got way overloaded with games. It did. And it really hurt Horizon Forbidden West, right? Because Elden Ring came out the next week and just
decimated.
Obliterated it. Sort of the same way the first Horizon game got I think the first Horizon game got bumped by, I think it was Last of Us that came out the next week. It like literally happened twice to the same game franchise. Some game came out when the first Horizon came out and kind of did the same thing that Elden Ring did this time.
I think it was God of War. No, it wasn't. They weren't the same year. Never mind. They weren't the same year. No, they weren't the same year.
I can't remember. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, you're right.
It doesn't matter. It happened twice to Horizon. And so I'm just wondering, as more and more games are getting bumped into that same window that happened this year, I just kind of wonder what's going to happen. I think that Jedi Survivor will be fine. I think it's going to do really well if it doesn't get delayed. But there's almost a part of me that thinks, like, delay it. Like,
yeah.
if it's going to come out in a time when people don't spend as much money, the reason these games come out in the holiday season usually is because everyone's spending money.
Well, I'm
curious to see what's going to happen.
So I don't think it'll get moved too much if it does, only because they didn't put a hard date. Like, most of these games, they put, like, these hard dates, which are just, like, I'm just like, you got to stop doing that. Because I think Jedi Fallen Survivor, they've taken a great approach, right? They're like, it's coming out in Q1. It's coming out between January and March. So I feel like the worst they might do is maybe April.
Yeah.
That's what I think. I think that would be the worst they would do. But I think that's a great way to approach it. And then honestly, it's kind of how Nerdy said, they can kind of like, I don't think this is why they did it, right? But it's a benefit. They can kind of sit there and be like, what games are coming around this time? Let's make sure we have like a window of just like, it's us mostly. We want to be the biggest game that drops because that helps. And they can do that. They can kind of like cherry pick now. And I think you might start to see more games doing that if they start thinking things through. And yeah, I think April might be the furthest they push it. Judging maybe by the release of the...
If it's ready.
Yeah, right? No, you're right.
And it kind of comes down to...
They will not...
Does it work?
Right. They will not release it if it's not ready.
Nobody wants a Cyberpunk issue again.
Well, like even the first Jedi... Like, even Jedi Fallen Order.
I mean, look, anyone would be happy to be Cyberpunk at this point. They have made...
Now,
like,
yes,
It's funny to think about Cyberpunk because it's like, yeah, Cyberpunk had a huge flop of a launch, and they made so... They still made so much money.
The publisher just... I mean, the developer, they just carry, like, a weight behind them as a name, as a...
That,
games.
Well, and the hype was so, big that when they finally were able to be like, oh, hey, Cyberpunk works now... They sold so many copies because people were like, oh, I always wanted to play it, but people said it didn't work. So they almost got like a second launch.
Oh, they did. No, they did. They for sure did. And then because...
Granted.
Yeah.
And so many people...
Yeah. I don't know how much that cost them, but...
I know so many people on like Twitch and probably YouTube Gaming too, they were doing like glitch counters too when they were first killing
them. Oh, yeah. I saw those too.
So that made it like a funny part of doing it. And then obviously playing it again was glitch free.
What's the phrase? All publicity is good publicity, or something like that. Yeah, that's
well, and what's good for, I mean, Jedi Survivor, I can't imagine will have that same problem just because the game is it's built right. Like they have everything they need from the first game. They need to add a few things, change a few things, and build new levels. Mm-hmm. But it's not like Cyberpunk where they were like, oh, we have to build everything from the ground up. They have an understanding of how their combat system works. I don't see a lot of people being like, God, I hope Fallen Order changes the combat system, right? Like, the combat system from Fallen Order is pretty universally praised as, like, the first time I really felt like my character was holding a lightsaber in a video game,
for sure.
Right? And so I think that they have so many strong elements from the first game that they're going to be able to just seamlessly kind of bridge over into the second. And a team that built the entire first game, having all of that experience going into the second... So it really just is like, is the story that they create worthy, a worthy successor to the story of the first game?
Yeah.
Because I love Fallen Order.
I love it.
But when I think about it, I remember the story of it. It is like one of my favorite stories in video games. It is so well told. Yep. The character arcs are beautiful. The acting from all of those performers is top notch, right? And so carrying all of that into the second one, I think that the game, I'm not worried about the gameplay of Fallen Order 2. I'm really mostly like, how are they going to get me again the way that they did the first time? Because goddamn, like, that game is emotional as hell, yeah. Right?
Yeah, it's a heavy game, actually. And not only mm-hmm. do they need to follow up an amazing story with an amazing story, they also have to work in within the confines of what they're allowed to tell in the Star Wars universe, which is a bit more limiting for them, right? Especially with all the other stuff that's coming out, and they can't really do anything that's crossed over. So, like, they kind of, like, they have their own little section of the universe, but it's a little bit smaller than the rest of them. So, like, yeah. I think that's going to be a challenge. But to actually, Nerdy said he's not worried about the gameplay. I'm not worried about the gameplay, but there's one thing I'm worried about, unless I miss something. Them releasing this on multiple versions of consoles and PC. Unless I miss something and they're only releasing it like on the new consoles, which I don't think that's the case. That is something they struggled with when they released the first right. game. When they released the first game, it was clearly made for PS4 Pro and Xbox One X. It was clearly not made for the original version of the Xbox and the original version of PlayStation. And we had some glitches. We had some struggles. I luckily had a PS4 Pro. I didn't have any issues. I had one glitch the entire time, the opening weekend of it. But I talked to some other friends and who had like the older consoles, and some of them, it just wasn't a great experience. And that made me sad for them, because I'm like, this is an amazing game and I really want you to experience this to the fullest. So that's my only concern.
I can quell your concerns a little bit. Because according to Games Radar from July, it is only PC, PS5, and Xbox Series X.
That's great.
So it's not even on the Series S, which is really crazy.
Wait, it's not on the Series S. That's like, honestly, for the most part, that's the console they actually push. They don't really, like, the Series X is their most powerful Xbox, quote unquote. But the Series S is the one they like. It's their affordable console that they push, because they want people to get on Game Pass, and that's how you easily get people on Game Pass, is by pushing that console.
I think this article might just be wrong, because it mentions that it won't be on PS4 and Xbox One. The article doesn't mention the Series S, so it might just not.
You know what? They may not have officially announced.
Can you imagine? You spent like $300 on an Xbox Series S, and the biggest game of the year isn't coming out on your console.
I don't see that happening. So I think maybe they just haven't officially like told us one way or the other. Maybe I'll just go back and watch the trailer and make sure, but.
I don't think the trailer said.
So
I think the concern there is PC, right? I will be buying it on the PS5. Safe. Just because quality, you know, I have a pretty strong PC. It can play anything. It got through Elden Ring even when Elden Ring was, you know, a broken mess. So, you know, those first few days were rough.
For PC players. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
I almost quit Elden Ring, which I'm glad I didn't, because I love that game. And I like by the like first patch. Because I put like 20 hours in when it was buggy and like stilted mm-hmm. and kind of hard to look at times. Then they patched it and it was incredible game, right? Probably game of the year. And I will definitely be getting it on PS5, because the console experience, in my experience, is better day one. And I'm going to probably stream this game day one until I beat it. Like, I probably will just be like, oh, I'm going to play the entirety of it. So that no one can spoil me on the
end.
No,
that's fair.
And that'll be how I handle that.
Yeah. And then I feel the exact same way as whether powerful PC or not. A lot of these games, they're really more day one made for consoles. Because making a game for a console and PC is, I mean, I'm not a developer, but clearly just over the experience of like Elden Ring's a perfect example, and other games as well. PC struggles for a bit until they really figure out the groove and the patches for it. Whereas console, usually day mm-hmm. one, if you have the PS5 or the Xbox One X, you're probably golden. Like, you're probably not going to run into any issues.
Well, there's just so many variances in PCs versus, you know, PS5 and Xbox One X. So, it's one configuration.
Yeah, so I'm going to do the same thing. And I'm not worried for me. Like, when I said that, what I'm really worried about is for the masses. And I want it to be a smooth... I want everybody to really love this game. That's what I want. I want this to be a smooth experience for everybody. And since we're still kind of hanging on to, like, the PS4 and the Xbox One, the original one, it concerns me with games going forward. Like, you know, I'm even a little worried about God of War Ragnarok later this year. And it's not because I don't think they're going to put an amazing story. Like, I think Ragnarok will do that. I hope Jedi Fallen Survivor does that. But when we start getting into these, like, let's make it for Xbox One X, PC, PS5, PS4 Pro, original PS4, like it's Xbox Series S. Like, it's just too much. Like, I don't honestly, in this in-between time of the consoles, I can't imagine being a game developer. It's gotta be hell.
Well, and it's why, like, any game that comes out and is like, it's gonna be on PC and mobile, I'm like, oh, I'm not gonna play.
Yeah,
that.
It's there's no,
I don't give a shit.
The mobile's the lower benchmark. That means the PC can only
I tried
high.
I tried Diablo Immortal, the new Blizzard game. I did not give them any money. And I can't, the people who are giving that game money, I don't get it. That game's terrible. Like, it's really, it is boring. I played for 2 hours. I didn't even come close to dying once. Like, there was no challenge. I literally would, I got to the point where, like, I would fight bosses and I would just stand there and take hits because they didn't do enough damage to, like, put me in the red.
You were literally immortal.
And I was like, oh, it's because it has to, you have to be able to play it. Well, it's because you have to be able to play it on your phone, right? So it has to be this, like, small experience. And so I was playing it on my PC on this 27-inch screen. It looked terrible. It played terrible. And I was just sitting there like, what is the point of this? That new MMO just came out, Tower of Fantasy.
I heard about that.
And they were like, oh, it's on mobile. Okay, I'm not interested. I don't want that experience, right? I don't want it to be limited in how many buttons you can press at the same time because there isn't enough screen real estate for you to have different buttons. I want to be able to use my keyboard to play the video game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I completely understand. And
it's just frustrating. It can be frustrating at times with this modern. I get it. There's so much money in mobile gaming, but I'm glad we're still getting games like Jedi Survivor and hopefully God of War Ragnarok is good.
Yeah.
And you know, that allows to really, you know, play them the way they're meant to be played and not so that somebody will give an extra 99 cents to speed up the harvest of their grain so that they don't have to wait 6 minutes in whatever simulator.
I read
playing.
About a guy that spent, like, I can't remember how much it was. I think it was like 17 grand on that Immortal game. And he got to the point where, well, obviously, like, it's sort of a pay to win model or it helps you go things faster, right? Like Nerdy's talking about. But now it's to the point where he can't be matched with anybody because there's no one at his level. Like, he literally, like, he paid all his money and basically can't play the game.
It's not 17 grand. 17 grand in that game will get you nowhere.
Okay. It was like, higher than that.
The people at the top of that game have all spent over $100,000.
And they can't play with anybody because, like, they're all, like, so far beyond everything. So that's
insane.
Oh, yeah. 17 grand won't even get you on the leaderboards in Diablo.
Oh, my God. But see, that's the thing. When you and I agree with you, Nerdy, because, like, if you make something that's so vastly different spec-wise for, like, a mobile game and PC, and those are the two options, you have to know that the PC version is going to look like crap. But the thing is, it's just like you said. You just said, I get it. Mobile games make money. And it did, even though, like, almost probably no one's playing Immortal right now or ever again, they still made enough money from it to the point where, like, they'll do it again. Like, they'll...
Oh, they made $100 million.
Exactly.
They didn't make enough money. They made all of them, and they're still making money. People are playing that game. People are giving them money. Because there's a culture of the whale culture of, like, oh, I can be number one if I give them my money. That's the thing. And, like, I don't get
it. No, I don't think Claudia does either. This is news to her, by the way.
If I booted it up and, like, the gameplay experience was phenomenal, if it felt like those first days of playing Diablo 2 and you told me that someone gave them $100,000, I'd be like, yeah, sure, it feels great. The game isn't good.
Yeah.
And so it's confusing because you're basically funding a not fun experience. Like, people who give money in Genshin Impact or Fortnite or, like, those games, Genshin Impact is very fun. And the only way to keep that fun going, because I've already kind of hit the wall with Genshin, where I'm like, oh, I see. I have to pay in order for this to move fast enough for me. It slowed down to the point where I'm kind of done with it because I'm not going to give them my money. But I bought the Battle Pass, but I'm not going to, like, be feeding money into the machine, right? The same with, like, with Fortnite, right? Like, I've spent a little bit of money here and there to appreciate the developers making the game because I think it's a great game. Diablo Immortal isn't a good game. And so it's frustrating. Yeah. I know this isn't about Star Wars. It's just, modern gaming is frustrating, and Jedi Survivor is the hope.
Yeah, it's your only hope.
It's a new hope.
I was about to say, I was like, it's the new hope.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's I think that's pretty much it for all we had today. You know, as we mentioned, the water cooler talk this week is going to be, you know, outside of our Star Wars podcast, of course, is going to be House of Dragon, which you can actually check both reactions on Nerdy Nightly and Just Jeffers. We're both going to be putting those up. be up on Monday. By the time you listen to this podcast, it'll been a few days. So if you want to catch up and watch the reactions with us, we're here. And also all Star Wars content, we're also here weekly. And yeah, and then, you know, I'm waiting for another Jedi Fallen Survivor actual trailer, because that was really just a teaser.
Yes.
That's really what I'm waiting for at this point.
And hopefully we can kind of get a better look at who's in that Bacta tank.
Yes.
Is there a state of play, or I feel like they're going to save it for something like that.
So I have a theory, and I did want to mention this, so I'm glad you asked. Disney/Marvel/Lucas, whatever, are doing
D23. That's right.
So they're doing their first like game thing September 9th. And now the only thing they've mentioned Star Wars wise though is
God damn it. I'm going to be in Disney World.
Oh jeez. They've mentioned Star Wars Lego Skywalker Saga, so there must be adding something to the game.
Wow.
They have not mentioned anything else. However, that is the perfect place for them to mention something that day. So that's
what would they add to Skywalker?
Well,
Saga?
So they've, I mean,
Bad Batch character pack. Maybe.
No, it's already
they
there.
Could do a
It's already there.
There's already a Bad Batch.
Oh yeah,
one?
Came out the day one. Yeah, now it's already there.
And Mandalorian's already there.
Mandalorian and Baby Yoda / Grogu are there. Like, there's.
Yeah, I knew Mandalorian was.
They it'll probably just be characters, but again, that's only the only one they've mentioned. But this would be a perfect place to surprise people.
I wouldn't be upset if there was more map, to be honest.
Yeah. So, anyways,
it would be fun if they were to drop like either like a Rogue One game or a like solo.
There you go.
Like add some of the Star Wars stories or one of the TV shows. Honestly, the best thing they could do is be like, it's $20. Here's the play through the episodes of The Mandalorian.
I would lose my mind over that, but I don't see it happening. But I would love.
I don't either.
But yeah, it'd be dope. But anyways, I think we might hear something.
I think they would do it. I don't think they'll do it because it's the Skywalker Saga game.
Yeah.
I think like 3 years from now they'll be like, hey, do you want to play Lego Star Wars the Favreau Filoni Saga?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like.
Like,
the story of Boba Fett,
money.
The Mandalorian, Ahsoka,
just
whatever this Rangers of the New Republic show was
take
supposed
my money.
To be.
Take your money.
Yeah, September 9th. So that'll probably be a big news.
Yeah, I think it will. Yeah. And I think that's what we're going to focus on gaming wise, at least.
I forgot about D23.
Yeah, I know you did.
Is that in LA or is that in Florida? Am I already going to D23? It would be so funny if Clarice and
I
accidentally
think it's in LA.
Set ourselves up.
I think
up.
It's in LA, but you tell me if I'm wrong. Pretty calm.
It's in Anaheim.
There we go.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's it for us, friends. Thank you so much for listening or watching wherever you are. If you could please give us a 5-star review, we would love it. And outside of that, we will see you next time, friends. Utini, and may the force be with you. Bye, friends.
Bye.